Welcome back to Martins and More. My name's Maury Rutsch.
And I'm Spoon Phillips.
And aren't you sick of seeing me? You guys listening to this, you have to understand, Spoon and I did Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We recorded about 26 videos, played probably a dozen guitars, and did not leave each other's sight for four straight days. And then we took a much-needed 3 days off, and we're back at it again. Spoon, did you miss me?
Oh, I missed you like the sea. So it was very good to see you because it had been a very long time since I've been out to Pennsylvania, either to Martin or to visit with the folks at Mars Music. So it was great. Unfortunately, I can't see you now because I'm back home in Brooklyn and we're doing a podcast. But I can certainly imagine you sitting there with that big smile on your face over some nice meal at home or at a restaurant or of course, in the studio and at the Martin Museum. So it was a great trip. And we certainly struck gold when it came to Martin guitars. So today we're going to be talking about some of the new models that we're allowed to talk about that are coming out at the NAMM show. There's other models we can't talk about yet because they're still on a press embargo and the dealers are not allowed to talk about them in public. But today, we're going to be discussing the exciting new standard series instruments that come with a satin finish.
And I can already tell what some of you guys might be thinking. The NAMM show already happened. Well, listen, we recorded this podcast a couple weeks early, so by some silly chance, this program is premiering after the NAMM show happened. Just pretend you didn't hear those last couple pieces. But the point is, while we're recording this, we're not allowed to tell you anything. And after the NAMM show starts, all bets are off. But let's follow Spoon's lead, take it down memory lane, and let you into the minds of Spoon Phillips and Maury's music and some of the great things we enjoyed last weekend playing some of these new models. The satin finish Martin guitars are at the top of my list when I want to tell you we have so much to talk about, and it's pretty exciting. Spoon and I spoke to a lot of people over the weekend, and it's a great, great way for many people who want to get into the standard series of Martin guitars, but for one reason or another, whether it's price or features, now you can look at things like the D28 and the D18, and all the way from 1833 up until 2022, you had to get the standard series the way the standard series was. And I know I'm taking liberties when I say 1833, but you know what I mean. You did not mess with the standard series. It is what it is. The D28 and the D18, they're just legends. You don't mess with perfection. Well, this year, Martin messed with perfection, and I think it was a perfect thing to try. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure I would say they messed with it, but they definitely added to the standard series. And if you haven't already heard, what they did is they took the standard D18 and the standard D28, and they have made new versions of them, three new versions of each model. And all three of them feature a catalyzed lacquer satin finish. So this is basically the finish they've been putting on the necks of the standard series guitars. And they've also used satin finish for the back and sides on guitars in the 16 series. And a version of it on the 17 series and so forth. Well, now they've brought it in to the standard series on these two classic models, the D18 and the D28. And if they sell well, and I suspect they will sell well, we'll be doing the same thing with other models. But for right now, we have the D18 with its genuine mahogany back and sides. And from at Martin, that means big leaf mahogany, typically from South America. And the back and sides are genuine mahogany. The top is a solid spruce top. As many of you know now, Martin Standard Series guitars can come with either a Sitka spruce top or a Lutz spruce top. Lutz spruce being a hybrid, natural hybrid between Sitka and white spruce. It just grows a little inland from the coastal regions where Sitka comes from. And as far as Martin's concerned, they're identical in all important respects. So you have solid spruce top. You have the forged shifted scallop bracing of a D18. You have the high performance neck. You have the classic vintage style 18 appointments with the tortoiseshell binding and pick guard, and the classic mother pearl fingerboard markers, and the open back tuning machines, and so forth and so on. So same instrument, only difference is the satin finish. And we can tell you through our own sound tests between the full gloss D18 and the satin finish models, it does make a difference in the tone. So I think before we go any farther, we're going to play a brief example of music comparing the two together, and we'll tell you which one was first and second after you listen to this.
So now for the big reveal, but even before I give you that information, I want to take this opportunity to tell you, if we haven't made it clear by now, the Standard Series got the addition of satin finish D18s and satin finish D28s. Martin is not removing the traditional full gloss 18s and 28s. These new models are in addition to. Take a deep breath and keep listening, because if we got anybody upset a few minutes ago, we did not mean to. But now for the big reveal, I'm going to tell you which guitar was which from that little snippet you just listened to. In order of appearance, you first heard the D18 satin, followed by the traditional D18.
That's correct. And I'll let the listeners make up their own mind for right now, before I give my own thoughts on it. But I guess the one big question a lot of people have is why? Why would Martin do this? Well, here's my opinion. After the COVID crisis and the world financial crisis and supply chain crisis that happened as a result, everybody seems to know out there that Martin changed its pricing policies. Gone is the list price versus the dealer special price versus the MAP price, the MAP price, etc. Now there's only the price. It's less than the old list price would have been, but it's more than the old super discounts that very special dealers like Mari's Music used to be able to offer. So it's kind of a compromise, but there's no doubt that Martin guitars now cost more than they did before the pandemic. And this is a way for Martin to offer the public Standard Series guitars at a lower price. And by lower price, we're talking hundreds of dollars lower. So you can buy a full gloss D18 or a full gloss D28, or you can now buy the D18 satin or the D28 satin for hundreds of dollars less. And I will say that there will be people out there that actually like the tone of the satin models more than the full gloss. I like them both. I say they're different, and that different doesn't mean bad, and different doesn't automatically mean better, but they are definitely unique models with unique tone. What are your thoughts on the tone of the new models and how they compare to the full gloss, Barry?
I'll agree with what you've said so far, Spoon, and I don't want to sound like a politician, but my honest impression is playing these for the weekend, and when I say that, we played them almost all day Saturday and Sunday before we had to bring them back to the Martin Museum, and then Spoon got to play them one more time in front of the camera. I don't hear enough of a difference that would make me think that I'm settling going with the satin, and conversely, I have to admit, I don't know that anybody who wants satin instead of gloss is going to hear a big difference. I think these sound more similar than they do different, but I'll definitely go on record to say they're not the same. And if you're looking for a D28, for example, and you get to play both of these, they're different enough that I think you're going to hear they're not the same guitar, but you're going to be able to tell they're both D28s. And I'll put an analogy out here that might be a little bit of a stretch, but in the same way somebody might find that they like the HD28 and they also like the D35, and they also like the HD35, and they're admitting to themselves they're a fan of the Spruce, Rosewood, Martin Dreadnought sound, and they would never go on record to say that the HD28 sounds exactly like a D35. These don't either, but I think people that are in that camp that know they like Spruce and Rosewood and they like the Dreadnought tone, it would surprise me if somebody found the D18 Satin and said the D28 sounds so much better, the Satin's a mistake, and vice versa. They're deliberately in the same family. And to your point a minute ago, somebody who likes a satin finish, not only do you get to have your own guitar designed for you without waiting for custom shop timing or paying premium, you're going to save, you know, $300 or $400. So I think it's a really smart idea. I love the fact that they're not changing anything else about it. When I first heard the news that this was coming down the pike, I was a little bit nervous. Are they going to change a few other things to make sure that people who buy the regular D28 get to be recognized in a jam? Versus, you know, if somebody buys the D28 Satin, is Martin going to put some kind of a decoration on that to make sure it shows up that way? And as a telltale sign, they've done the opposite. They want you to know you're getting a D28 either way, and I think that's awesome.
I made a couple of points that, yes, that I want to comment on there. You mentioned comparing guitars like a D28, HD28, D35. Similarly, I was thinking how the OM28 and the 00028 are virtually identical except for the scale length difference, and the OM bracing is 1/4 inch and the 00 is 5/16. But they sound very similar. And as you put it, they sound more similar than they sound differently. And so we are in that analogy ballpark when it comes to these new satin models. The other one is the stamp on the D18 satin says D18. The stamp on the D28 satin says D28. Now, internally, yes, they have some sort of marker when they're doing batches, but they want to be able to take a neck block and a serial number and a back and sides and a top that are a family that get turned into a guitar as they go through the construction process. And they want to be able to say, based on orders, okay, well, that one's going to be satin, and that one's going to be full gloss. And they consider them both D28s. They consider them both D18s. And this is a brand new thing for Martin. So they consider them part of the standard series. They consider it a more affordable option. They are aware of the fact that they do not sound exactly the same. In my opinion, the full gloss traditional versions have, I guess you could, I don't know if you want to call it, I'm trying not to use negative connotations, but a tighter voice, a throatier voice, a thicker voice. And there are people out there that don't particularly like the sound of the big Rosewood dreadnoughts because they think they're too thick. Well, the satin model, they might absolutely love. And as I was sitting in the museum, on the stage and recording these videos, a good friend of ours was there watching. And from his perspective out there, he was talking about sparkle. He was talking about how the new D18 had such noticeable sparkle up in the highs. And then when it got to the D28, he said, it's got that similar kind of sparkle, but they seem to be coming more from the mid-range. And when I listen to these comparison videos that Mari has posted online, I hear exactly what our friend was talking about. This is definitely what I consider a vibrant, very nimble and nuanced voice coming out of these satin models. You can tell it's a D28. You can tell it's a D18. They're very similar, but then it has this openness that almost sounds like the vintage tone system torrefaction effect, the way that has an openness. And it's because the satin finish, there are fewer layers of the finish because they don't need to buff it to a high gloss. It's not exactly the same kind of lacquer, but it's allowing those back and sides and top to breathe more and flex more and respond to vibrations more. So in a way, they're more responsive. And I think they're outstanding for fingerstyle playing, and absolutely loved the mahogany ones that we played when it comes to finger picking. I think people will start to hear these online, and they'll start to hear about people who bought them, And there's going to be people who say, you know, that sounds like what I want out of a Martin guitar. And so, but on the other hand, I think there is something about the fullness and the growliness down in the inside the voice of the traditional full gloss ones that is kind of what sets it apart. But again, we're talking a pretty small rainbow of change between these different models. So I'm very excited about them, and I'm looking very forward to seeing them in more and more people's hands and hearing what they have to say about them.
And interestingly enough, one of our viewers on YouTube commented on the D18 versus the D18 Satin. He watched that video, and then he also watched the D28 versus D28 Satin. And it didn't take long. Somebody's already out there saying they prefer the Satin when it's rosewood, and they prefer the gloss when it's mahogany. So some fans out there, some players out there, are fans of the 18 glossed and the D28 satinized, if you want to say it. So don't forget that. You might actually hear the openness and the extra upper mid-range or extra breathing in the trebles, but maybe you don't like that on both tonewoods. Maybe that's something that's benefiting the rosewood design and a little bit shrill or strident on mahogany, or, you know, take that for what it's worth, but everyone's ears is going to say something different. I wouldn't be surprised if some people are not just a black and white yes or no answer with I like the satin or I don't. Maybe it depends on the back and sides.
I think that's probably true. I might even say I am the opposite. I was really taken by the D18s, and I enjoyed the D28, but there was something about the bass low E string when I was finger picking, doing my alternate picking patterns and stuff, that I just really liked the definition of it and how it hung there in that openness that you get from these guitars. Now, when people think of satin finish, they have different opinions. When I think of a high-end guitar, professional level guitar with satin finish, my mind immediately goes to the guitars of George Loudon from Northern Ireland. And his guitars traditionally have always had a satin finish. And I believe that it's part of what makes them sound the way they do. And if anybody's heard Richard Thompson, that's his primary guitar. There's several other, of course, across the Celtic music world. There's lots of people who play Loudons. Also, satin finish guitars are often found from classical guitar makers, particularly Spanish guitar makers and flamenco guitar makers. But it's definitely, you know, it's a tradition that goes way back for a very long time. In the 1930s, Martin called it a matte finish, and you found it on the 15s and the 17s. And earlier than that, there's a variety of Martins in different sizes and styles that use the matte finish. That was actually, I think, a matter more of how much they buffed it. In the modern era, satin finishes are, in fact, made with a catalyzed lacquer, which is different than the nitro that is used, but it's still similar and still protective. It's still, in my opinion, a lot better than the thick coats of polyurethane that you get on some guitars out there. But I'm a traditionalist, of course. And I find them very versatile. I find them, I would say, uniquely versatile. I thought it was interesting. We met with Tim Teal, the head designer at Martin, and he was talking about the fact that they have seen satin rise in popularity across the market, and that Martin, for a long time, was making guitars in series below the standard series with satin back and sides and a gloss top, but that that is kind of waning in popularity, and so they are very much expecting the satin finished tops to become popular in Martin. And I wouldn't be surprised, because you do not get the same kind of like mirrored glare off of stage lights and stuff that you get from the full gloss. You just get like a soft glow reflection. And that works very well with the instruments we haven't spoken of yet, which are the D28s and D18s made with satin that have unique tops. So they are, again, identical to the standard series D18 and D28. They have a stamp that says D18 and a stamp that says D28. And yet they have unique finishes, not finishes, they have unique treatment on the top. And one of them is the new Amber Burst that Tim Teal has come up with that is a softer, friendlier Amber Burst that allows all of the grain of the top to be seen through the burst. So it never gets dark enough that it is covering up the top. And that is available on the D18 satin and the D28 satin. And publicly they're referred to as, you'd be surprised to hear, the D18 satin Amber Burst and the D28 satin Amber Burst.
That's a mouthful. I've been saying that all week long on the phone and I stutter more than I say it right. Satin Amber Burst, Satin Amber Burst, Satin Amber Burst. I always want to say Satin Amber Tone or just mumble the whole thing. But it's an interesting point you just brought up where it's so light you actually see the grain through the burst. There were some forum posts I was reading this morning that I want to go and answer where people are wondering, is the grain printed? And printed is already a bad word, and I'm going to go back in time and take it off this podcast because when Tim Teal wasn't telling us all these kind of great stories, he must have told us three different times, it's not printed, it's painted. And what he was trying to express was that this, I'm going to call it a printer because that's what I have in my mind, that it's not a painter. When I think of a painter, I think of a house painter. But this machine that's doing the printing is actually a bunch of tiny little spray nozzles. So it's instead of something printing like a, you know, at Kinko's or Staples, it's painting tiny little nozzle guns of paint into the top. And the more I really explain this, the more I realize I might say one wrong word that doesn't necessarily flatter the process and it might mislead, but he was very diligent to make sure we don't go telling people that these are printed tops because that's really not what's going on.
That's correct. And he uses it when they're developing a different kind of amber burst and amber tones and whatnot. Now he will use that as a to make templates or to practice until he gets the look right before they use the hand sprayed guns that they use on the traditional standard series models that have various kinds of burst and amber tone finishes. But so now are applying it directly to the spruce. So you are seeing the actual grain of the spruce when it comes to the new amber burst finish. And we're going to be seeing some other interesting finishes of that sort coming out in terms of top treatment. But it's quite attractive. Some people will never be interested in a sunburst of any kind. And other people, you know, like the fact that you get different varieties of them. What it's supposed to represent and what it was originally based upon was a 1933 OM18 that had been made with a shade top. And anybody who knows the shaded top Martins from the vintage years, they were very dark sunbursts with that sort of black edging. And then it would turn into sort of a Halloweeny orange and then sort of slowly fade toward a golden hue. But that it's faded over time, being exposed to sunlight for years and, you know, decades and decades and decades, until it faded out into a soft glow. And that's where they got the idea for the old amber burst and the current amber tone. And now this new amber burst that is, it looks much more like a faded, shaded top than an artistically contrived burst. And so... So I think they're going to be very popular in their own right. And they're not going to be nearly as controversial as the third variety of D18 and D28 that are being officially released at the NAMM show on April 13th. And this is the D18 Street Legend and the D28 Street Legend.
Don't turn off the podcast. Don't delete Martins & Moore from your phone. This part of the program is called Don't Shoot the Messenger.
That's right. Don't Shoot the Messenger is brought to you by Martins Street Legend Guitars. As you might have already connected, Street Legend is a take on the Streetmaster instruments that have a artistically designed dark finish that's put on top of the guitars from the 15 series. And now, as there's a model in the 16 series with it as well. And then they artistically distress it, but it doesn't look like distressed finish to me. It looks more artistic than that. Very carefully removing some, lightening up the finish around the edge of the guitar, so it almost gives the impression of binding where there isn't binding on the 815s and that sort of thing. So this is sort of a major step up from a Street Master model to the Street Legend model. And they went all out with the D18 Street Legend. And I'm going to just convey a story that some of you may hear multiple times online in various interviews with Tim Teel, or maybe not. But what we were told was an unnamed VIP visitor was at Martin and was up in the design office. And they looked up on the wall and they said to the people there, "Why do you have that guitar up here?" And Tim said, "What guitar are you talking about?" He said, "That one right there. I know what that guitar is." And he said, "Well, what do you think it is?" He said, "Well, I know what it is. That is Kurt Cobain's grandpa, a guitar. And I've played it." And Tim said, "Well, would you like to play it again?" And he handed it to him. And then the cat was out of the bag at that point, because what the Street Legend series is offering is tops that have a painted, photorealistic painting of the top of a vintage Martin that has lots and lots of playing wear on it. And if anybody's seen Kurt Cobain's grandpa guitar, you know that the finish is absolutely removed off of big swaths of it, so the basically white spruce is showing through, as well as all kind of other dings and scrapes and gashes and discoloring. And that's what this D18 Street Legend looks like. That's what the top looks like. So much so that a person sitting 6 feet away from it actually thought it was Kurt Cobain's guitar, somebody who had actually played Kurt Cobain's guitar. That's how realistic it is. But this painting on the spruce soundboard is under the satin finish. So you still get a fully protective satin finish, absolutely smooth to the hand. And I got such a kick out of watching so many different people at the factory kept touching the top, kept wanting to feel the grooves in the wood and kept wanting to feel the gashes and the dings and stuff. And it is an optical illusion.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah. They couldn't help it. And some of you
know me, most of the time it was me. Oh.
Exactly. And some of you are familiar with highly figured wood, tone wood like koa and Brazilian rosewood and bubinga that has so much three-dimensional holographic special effect to it that it looks like the wood has to be at least an inch thick because of the ripples that you see that look like ripples in sand at the bottom of a river or something, when in fact it's just a fraction of an inch thick and is entirely optical illusion. This is that exact same kind of effect, except it's accomplished with this photorealistic painting that's on the soundboard. And, you know, immediately people are going to get out the pitchforks and, you know, act like there's some abomination, when people have been doing the relicking processing on electric guitars and now acoustic guitars for years and years and years. And this, instead of paying a craftsman or craftswoman to sit there and painstakingly reproduce playing wear like they do on the authentic series aged models, this is still at the exact same price as the D18 Satin, but with this amazing weathered seasoned top, old warrior guitar top to it. And I think a lot of people are going to be not only amazed when they see it in person, but they're going to like the look, and they're going to like the look on stage, and they're going to be perfectly happy to not pay extra for it. And just to, you know, let you know, this model is, I believe, almost $6,000 cheaper than the D18 authentic aged model. So it is a wonderful way to approach the aged or relic guitar idea without suffering the high prices that come with it.
And it's funny, I've been watching some feedback online. There are some people that just hate relic guitars, no matter how it gets to that point. no matter how it's done, they don't like the relict or aged look. There are some people that do like that look that hate this because this is considered fake. So they're okay if people fake the fact that a guitar has been beat up by somebody scraping the top. But if you're going to fake somebody scraping the top by using a painting, like, then that's too much fake. And I'm not sure where I land on the issue, because I would never own that guitar, you know, as a player. I'm not going to sit here and say that I would. But it's so realistic looking from, I would say, 2 or 3 feet away. You can almost, until you can really reach out and touch it, unless you have 6-foot arms, you still don't know that that's a painting. And if anything, you have to give Martin props for getting that so dialed in. I don't know what they're planning to do in the future, but why couldn't you spend that technology, and instead of trying to make it look like Kurt Cobain's 1953 guitar, make it look like a D41. Make a D28 look like a D15. This convinces me Martin could make that look like anything. They could make it look like a pool. It could look like water, and people would be trying to spill things into it. It's so convincing to me that the sky's the limit. I don't know where they would actually apply it, but this is only the very, very beginning of the tip of the iceberg.
Hello, Mr. Martin. Yes, I'm afraid your secret's out. Yes, we'll take care of it. That's right. We'll erase his entire memory. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Yes, I have a feeling they expect big things from this. But just like when they first started doing tops on the X models that allowed them to put Fritz the Cat or the cowboy guitars or David Crosby's Rock the Vote guitar with those amazing paintings that Robert Getzel does for the Martin Company, and how that got to the point where they could actually put it on a solid, high-quality spruce top. The same thing. This is an evolution of the same artistic idea. Of course, people are going to love it. I did see somebody post either on one of my YouTube videos or one of yours saying, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm basically saying I happen to be of the age where having a replica of Kurt Cobain's grandpa guitar is extremely appealing to him. And so I agree. I'm old enough that I didn't understand why people would buy jeans that came with holes already in them, let alone, you know, or faded or have those faded streaks down the fronts and all that. But there are probably more people, more adults alive right now who grew up with pre-distressed, vintage-looking T-shirt emblems, blue jeans, sneakers. I mean, that whole distressing look. There are more people, more adults alive right now who grew up with that concept than aren't, that didn't grow up with that concept. And so I think these kind of distressed guitars may appeal to people like that more than they would appeal to you or I. But I just still find it fascinating. And it's really quite amazing. It's not just the top. These Street Legend models actually come with some other cosmetic adjustments. They come with a pickguard that is hand distressed, where a craftsman really is distressing the pickguard so it looks like it's got years of playing wear on it. And we also get tuning machines that are a nice matte pewter color nickel. And those are, they're either identical to or similar to the relic tuners used on the authentic series. And I think that might be it. Also, they're, I think, purposely choosing ebony fingerboards and bridges that are natural, undyed ebony, and that have like some streaking and even some sort of beige colored streaking in them and stuff that helps tie in to that sort of worn look. So the whole project has been in the works for a while, and they're doing a meticulous job of figuring that out. In fact, I know that the earlier prototype had regular silver mirrored chrome tuners, but now they went ahead. Somebody decided, no, it's switched. So I was so actually surprised to see those tuners when we went to the factory and see these production prototypes, because they now come with the relic pewter colored tuners. So very nice touch, look great, and they sound great. They're, you know, these are all identical to the D18 satin model, the amber tone and the Street Legend are identical in terms of construction to the regular amber tone. So you have the choice between having a pristine top that has not had anything done to it, the Amberburst top, and the Street Legend. The D28s, how would you describe the D28 Street Legend top? Because it's quite different from the D18 Street Legend.
Had you not said that, I was going to set this segment up to say, if they're going to take that kind of reckless abandon with the mahogany D18, how do you think Martin addressed the reverence that is the rosewood D28? Do you think they would do something so crazy? But your point was good too. So I'll just start by saying the D28 takes that and dials it back just a lot. I mean, you have some really light wear and tear on the D28 Street Legend. And I've been told this guitar was also approached to mimic, you know, a well-worn guitar, but Tim was very clear to tell us it was not based on anybody's guitar. It's not a famous Kurt Cobain guitar. It's just really dialed back. So much so that I would almost expect some people like the idea but wish it was a little bit more worn. But they took the D18 Street Legend and left it alone with the D18. And the D28 is not the rosewood version of the D18 Street Legend at all. It's a lot more reserved.
That's correct. And it was taken from a vintage Martin that is in the museum collection. I don't know if it's actually on display in the museum. And they, you know, they went through, they said they looked at lots and lots and lots and lots of vintage tops. And I have a feeling they, because of the grandpa guitar, because of the celebrity connection, and because it's just so much playing wear, that they couldn't resist using that one. On the D28, there's like two small patches of what I would call serious playing wear. One of them is up on the bass side, close to the fretboard. So it clearly somebody did most of their strumming up around the fretboard. And then the other one is on the treble side and really past the pickguard. So, but it has, you know, when you're closer to it, it's got, you know, it looks old. It just doesn't look, you know, completely obliterated like the D18 that Kurt Cobain owned. But it is still the same concept. And it, I mean, it looks like from the neck down, it looks like a real 1950s D28, one of those bluegrass cannons with the 5/16th inch non-scallop bracing. The big difference, of course, is it has the forward shifted non-scallop bracing of today's D28 for extra bass boom. But you still get those very clear non-scallop brace notes. So you get what I consider to be fat notes, but fat's not the best word because they're like muscle. And they are very round and very sculpted, and they sit up out of the undertone. And you hear this whether you're playing a D35 or a D28 or the old D18s from the 1990s that had straight bracing as well. And you still get undertone, but it doesn't waver around like you get with scallop bracing. It kind of stays in strata behind that those top notes. And those top notes really pop out. They're really good for recording, really good for ensemble playing because you hear them so clearly. So all that's there. I think the satin finish changes the voice a little bit. Again, you don't get quite the throatiness. You don't get quite the growliness. It's, to my ear, sounds prettier, a little brighter, certainly with a lot of high-end effervescence and all kinds of very pretty high-end, as our friend said, sparkling rosewood overtones. And so you have the antique white binding that was intended to look like a 1950s Martin in the first place. You've got the mother pearl dots. It's the black and white ply binding like you get in the 1950s and 60s D28s. Still get your ebony fingerboard and bridge. I think likewise they're also looking for bridges and fingerboards with a lot of character to go along with the painted vintage painting top. And then above on the headstock these days, you actually get a 1930s shape to the headstock with 1930s open back tuners and a 1930s scroll logo. So it's kind of like a 1930s headstock, but on a 1950s Martin body. Very successful. I think the satin, the amberburst looks really good on that model. And I agree. After you see the grandpa guitar, you're almost disappointed they didn't pick a top with a lot more gnarly wear on it. But... But I like the word you use, you know, whether you said reverenced or revered, I don't remember. But obviously somebody said, the D-28 is the ship of the line of Martin guitars, and so these new D-28s, they still wanted them to look nice rather than gnarly, and they accomplished that.
And one thing I forgot to ask you earlier, and I think I already know the answer because I was listening when Tim was talking to you. There's going to be someone out there that hears this podcast and wants to buff their D18 satin to a gloss like a lot of players do with their 15 series instruments. Is that something you can do at home?
Well, you can do lots of things at home. You can eat hemlock, but I wouldn't recommend it. No, you can. Yes, you can. But if anybody's going to do this, we're not recommending it, and you have to be really careful because these instruments do not have as much finish on them as a full gloss. So you can't buff them to get the same, and it's not going to look the same. You're not going to get the same sheen. It is not a nitro lacquer. It's a catalyzed lacquer, and that gives you a nice, lovely satin finish. So, but you can certainly, I know people who have hand buffed their 15s to gloss the top and stuff. I would recommend doing that rather than putting them on a buffing wheel or something like that, because it is not as thick a finish. And that's one of the reasons they sound like they do. Those bodies get to move more. And you know, I don't think of a standard series Martin as being tight or locked in place like you get from certain brands with their very thick polyurethane finishes. But compared to the satin finishes, the moment I played those, the D18 and the D28 next to the satin, it seemed pretty obvious that the bodies on the satin clearly are more responsive to vibration. And the other ones do have feel like they're kind of held in place. And that produces a certain kind of sound. So similar, but different, and certainly relative to each other, and sound more like each other than, you know, than other models are going to sound. But we're not recommending, certainly. I don't know, I'm assuming Mari's Music is not going to recommend it. I don't recommend trying to buff these at all. But I'm saying, you know, people do that with the 15s that do it by hand. They do shine up and they get shinier, but it's not going to be anything like the mirrored, you know, flashy finish that you get from high gloss.
Yeah, I'll go so far as to say, if I don't edit this whole part out of this podcast, do not try this at home. I was merely bringing up a conversation point with Spoon, and I'm not even trying to encourage the encouragement of you guys thinking about taking these guitars and doing anything to them except playing them, loving them, and keeping them forever. So we'll find out later if this part of the show got erased. But
I do want to add that when it comes to the satin finish, many of you may know that Martins in the early 20th century that were made in style 18, style 17s, but style 18, style 21, and style 28 did not have a full gloss finish that was reserved for the 42s and the 45s. And the 40s back in those days. So that was rumored for many years. And then they actually found in the archives the letter where Frank Henry Martin, Chris Martin's great-grandfather, actually wrote a letter to someone saying how they achieved the what Martin now calls vintage gloss, which was all done by hand in those days, back then. And that is now used on the authentic series, 18s and 28s. This finish isn't exactly the same thing, but it looks a lot like it. It looks a lot like the vintage gloss. It's not quite as glossy, but it's still a high satin. I believe Tim referred to it as a 30 satin. I'm afraid I'm not familiar with that scale, but if somebody's out there who's familiar with lacquer and finishing wood, this has been buffed to a 30 satin, and it still has a lot of light reflection, but like I said, more of a glow than a mirror sort of glare. There's no glare that comes off these guitars, and I think that's a selling point for certain people. So bear that in mind. One thing we have not done yet is we haven't listened to the comparison of the D28 satin and the standard D28. So let's do that right now.
So what did you think of that? Let us know in the comments below. If you're watching this in real time on YouTube, let us know in the chat, which was the D28 and which one was the D28 Satin. We'll give you just a moment to think of your answers and write them down. What do you think, Spoon?
Well, I know, because I was the one who played them. So,
good answer. But that was 5 days ago.
That's true. But I've been listening to them a lot on headphones and stuff as I prepare to write my own reviews of these guitars for onemans.com. So that's onemans.com/guitar, One Man's Guitar, where my personal reviews of guitars and guitar-related things can be found online.
Hey-o!
So you want to do a drum roll?
Yep.
So the first guitar was, in fact, the D28 Satin, followed by the standard full-gloss D28. Now remember, when you order these guitars from Mars Music, they will say D18 or say D28, whether they're full-gloss satin. And I believe also it says D28, whether they're the Amber Burst or whether they're the Street Legend. So this is a revolutionary change for Martin. They are not reflecting the top art or the finish on the model stamp. So they consider them all D18s and all of them D28s. And I'm hoping that we'll soon see HD28s and D35s and OM28s in satin finish as well.
Ooh, that's a tease if I ever heard one.
Well, we'll see. You know how Martin is. If they sell, they'll do it. If they fall flat, they probably won't do it, but I doubt they're going to fall flat. Not for hundreds of dollars less for a full dovetail neck joint with the exact same construction, same bracing, same quality woods, same neck, same tuner, same everything for a lot less money. And I think it's about time that they offered a lower priced Martin that has what I would call the traditional, in quotes, real Martin neck joint and construction. And I think it took a major shift in the economic climate around the world to have them explore this idea. And so that's a silver lining for us all.
Well, it's about time we wrap this show up. It's been so much fun, but all good things come to an end. I want to thank all of you guys for listening, Spoon. I want to thank you for spending 5 of the last 8 days stapled to me. I've had so much fun with you, and I know we have a lot more to do after this show is over. But here's to the next time we can spend a 4-day weekend playing guitars. And from all of us at Mari's Music, thanks for listening.
Hear you later.
This has been a presentation of Mari's Music, your trusted source for Martin and Blue Ridge guitars. Find us online at morrismusic.com.